Now, in this segment of the sermon, we are going to cover, is there a Trinity in the Bible referring to three persons in a Godhead, that is referring to the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit? Before we go any further, I want to tell you this. The Bible does reveal a Trinity, but not as the world supposes that it is, but it is the one that they believe in. Now let's come to Matthew 28, and let's look at this one first. Matthew 28, and let's pick it up here in verse 18. Verse 18, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." See, there is a Trinity, it is claimed. Okay. Question. Can you establish doctrine on one scripture alone that does not conform to other scriptures in the Bible? The answer, no. Okay. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the consummation of the age. Amen. All right. We use this very phrase, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when baptizing. People come along and say, well, when you read the book of Acts, they baptize in the name of Jesus. How do you do it then? Very simple. This is roughly the formulation for baptizing. After you ask them what their name is, have they repented of their sins, have they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and Master in heaven above right now, I baptize you not into any sect or denomination of this world, but into the name of the Father, because you will be his begotten child, and of the Son, not the name of, but of the Son, because it is his life, his death, his crucifixion, his shed blood, and resurrection that you have standing with God. And of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes from the Father to beget you so that you will be a child of the Father and have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit being the power of God. And then when we conclude the baptism formula that we go through, we say, and we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. This does not prove that the Holy Spirit is a person. And in a separate sermon, I'm going to show the Holy Spirit is always in the neuter gender. It. Never he or him, and that those are deliberate mistranslations knowingly in the English version of the Bible. Now then, where does the Trinity come from? I'll save that for later. Let's do this. Let's look at what the Bible tells us. Let's see how we get three in one. Now, when we read earlier that we are in Christ and in the Father, that doesn't mean we both occupy the same bodily existence. That means we're one in spirit. We are one as after the resurrection as God is in the God family. And that is in Christ Jesus and God the Father. Now, I'll just mention here Let's come to, let's put it in the record here. Okay. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Now, as you're turning there to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, whenever you read the introduction of the Apostle Paul to all the churches, it never includes the Holy Spirit as a person. If he were a person, then don't you think that the Apostle Paul would be rejecting one of the Godhead, never referring to it? Also in the Bible, there is not the word Trinity one single time. All right? So let's read it here. First verse, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the Holy Spirit? All right. Well, we will answer the question. Let's first of all come to 2 Thessalonians. No, 2 Corinthians, beg your pardon. Have set Thessalonians on the brain here. Let's come to chapter 2. Now, these things started early. When you read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which is the resurrection chapter, he says, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead? I mean, come on, where have they been? See? Okay. And then he writes in 1 and 2 Timothy that there were those who were saying that the resurrection has passed, meaning the only resurrection was Christ, and everybody else goes to heaven because they have an immortal soul. And I'm going to follow Dolores' advice, and I'm going to give some sermons coming down the road on the rapture hoax. Let's read it here. Verse 17, 2 Thessalonians 2. For we are not like the many, it's like it is today, who for their own profit are corrupting the word of God. What do you know about that? If you have the Trinity Channel and you can stand it, turn it on sometime and listen to some of these clowns that are supposed to be ministers. Okay? Corrupting the word of God. How do you corrupt the word of God? By not proving by the word of God, bringing all scriptures together to bear on the subject, to understand what does the Bible really say. You read a verse or say a verse, and then you apply a different meaning to it because you leave out important things. Okay? Here's what it is. But we speak with sincerity. No double motives, no politics, no favoritism. It has to be from God the Father. Okay? With sincerity, as from God and before God and in Christ. All right, now come over here to chapter 4. Chapter 4, because we will see right here in the book of 2 Corinthians, plus some other scriptures, we have identified for us who and what is the Trinity. And it's not from God. 2 Corinthians 4, let's pick it up here in verse 1. And this is the guide for all who are to teach, all who preach. Verse 1, therefore, having this ministry according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted, for we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. Okay? Hold your place here and come back to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's see what we need to do, because you see, the mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And what did Jesus tell the scribes and Pharisees? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but within you're full of hypocrisy, lawlessness, and excess. Okay? Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 4. Therefore, do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And who dispenses the hidden things of darkness? Satan the devil. And who will make manifest the motives of all hearts. Are there infiltrators? Yes, Jesus calls them tares, correct? Yes, indeed. We'll see about that. Then shall each one receive praise from God. Now back here to 2 Corinthians 4. God is going to judge the motives, the attitudes. Why do they do what they do? Why do they preach what they preach? When obviously plain scriptures tell you otherwise. Now, we will see that when we get into the how important is a tittle. One accent mark. One accent mark. And one letter can make the difference. We'll see that. And I'm going to send it out as a video so you can all watch it to the entire mailing list. Okay? All right, verse 2 again. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain, not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, if you handle the word of God, which is the word of truth, deceitfully, what do? You create lies out of what should be the truth because you twist and distort and turn it, right? Yes. But by the manifestation of the truth, there it is. We must seek the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, always, in everything. We are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, and whom the God of this age or this world has blinded the minds who do not believe. Satan is called a god, correct? I want you to think on that. God in three persons. We will see that it will be none other than the master deceiver, Satan, the devil, as defined by the word of God. Blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Now, what happens when you're blind or partially blind? Now, to give you an example, I'm reading a book about the rapture, because I'm going to give some sermons on it. And they believe up to a point. If you have 50% of the truth, what is the other 50%? Error. If, as I mentioned before, you have a 1,000-word puzzle and you only have 500 pieces, what have you missed? Okay. If you have a set of keys, but they don't fit any locks, what are you going to open? Nothing. Okay? Self-evident. Manifestation of the truth. What did we just read concerning sanctifying? Sanctify them in your word. Your word is the truth. Okay? But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing and whom the God of this age or world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Because it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined into our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we have a God of this world, right? Let's see what he does. Let's come down here to chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Now we're going to see something else. We have already established there is one who is called God, Satan, of this world. Chapter 11, after talking about the false prophets and so forth, he really gets into it here. Verse 1, I would that you might bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed, do bear with me. For I'm zealous over you with the jealousy of God, jealous over you or zealous over you, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means. Now remember what I've said concerning the Passover and attacking the Passover. That if you get people to move a little bit away from the truth, you open the door. That's always the first thing to go. Get the book From Sabbath to Sunday by Samuel Bakioki, and you will see the first thing they did was challenge the 14th Passover, correct? Called the Quarto Deciman controversy. Then came Easter. Then came Sunday. That's the same thing that's happening today. That's exactly what they did in the church that we left. Precisely. Now let's read on. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, and he talked nicely and subtly and lovingly to Eve. Oh, Eve, did God really say that you can't eat of any tree of the garden? Oh, no, he said we could eat of all the trees, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we should not eat of or touch it. Well, did you know that that tree is so important that you will know and be able to decide for yourself good and evil? You won't have to depend on God. Look at it. It's beautiful. Smell it. It's enticing. Touch it. You won't die. And of course, they didn't know what death was, right? Go ahead, pick it. Fell right into her hand. Nothing happened. No bolt of lightning from heaven. No one saying, Eve, what are you doing? That's what Adam should have done because he was with his wife. So Adam was watching the whole thing. And I think he was thinking, well, if nothing happens to her, I suppose it's all right. Yeah. Okay. No bolt of lightning. Her arm is still there. It's in her hand. And she took a bite. And it tasted good. And it was sweet. Today we might accuse it of having high fructose corn syrup. It's so bad. Okay. But it says cunning craftiness. Okay. He didn't come up there and say, I'm the devil. I hate God. No. Cunning craftiness. Just like the Pope. Oh, how wonderful. Brothers. Now we all sinned. Just forget about the Inquisition. You were partly to blame and we were partly to blame. So let's all be bosom buddies together. Okay? Same spirit. Okay? So here's Adam. Eve took a bite and said, Adam, you know, it's really good. He said, really? Yeah, it's really, really good. Here, take it, eat it. Yeah, it is good. It is good. Remember, there's always a benefit in sin to begin with. It's the end that's going to catch up with you, plus a lot in between, okay? By his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, does Satan bring another Jesus? Okay, we have God. We will see he's called the Father of something here a little later. He brings another Jesus, okay, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit. The third part of the formula, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, Sunday's just fine. What you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. Now, what were they doing? The Greeks love knowledge. They love to hear different sides of the story. And all opinions are sacred. You know, your opinion is good as anybody else's. Okay? Different gospel, you did accept it. You put up with it as something good. Yes, we want to investigate. Yes, we want to hear the whole story. Now notice what he says here. But I consider myself in no way inferior to those highly so-called apostles. All right, come down here to verse 13. Notice, all of this is false, presented as good. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Who is the vicar of Christ on earth? The Pope in place of Christ. Okay? For no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, who is the god of this world. And that could also be a messenger of light, because angel also means messenger. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants. Now, think about this. How does God preach the word? Through his servants. He uses human beings. Now, sometimes when there's no one left, look at the example of Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah, who was the son of a priest, from Anathoth, and that was a city of priests, because no one would listen. So he chose a young boy who was about 15 or 16 years old, because he said, I can't speak, I'm only a youth. He said, don't worry about it, I'll put my words in your mouth. But I'm going to send you to tear down, to destroy, and to raise up and to build a boy to tell all of Jerusalem and Judah, you're going into captivity into Babylon because of your sins, because there was no one else who would do it. So when they come along with all of their PhDs, you know, that means piled higher and deeper, and THDs and all of this sort of thing, and they have all of this great wisdom, and they talk at a level that's so high that you don't want to say, I don't understand it, because you would appear stupid. And that's exactly what he takes you to be. That's why he speaks in those terms. Okay? So he has his servants. See? Also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right. So we have another God. We have another spirit. Now let's see what that spirit does. Let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. And as we are turning there, remember what Revelation 12:9 says? Satan has deceived the whole world. The whole world. Now think about this for a minute. I've mentioned this as we have read Revelation 13, where it says the whole world's going to worship Satan the devil. Well, think about this. Doesn't the whole world almost completely worship Satan the devil? Yes, indeed. So it's going to be no big thing when all the emotion comes along. Now just think what would have happened on this trip with the Pope to the Middle East if he were there, and he was praying, and all of a sudden, boom, fire comes down out of heaven. Woo! I imagine even the Muslims would have fallen on their face. See, faces. Okay? All right, let's see what this other spirit does. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Now, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, who's the God of this world. Okay, we'll see another title given to him as well. According to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. So Satan has a spirit he can send out, and comments by people with the Pope's, with the Pope's visit was, oh, he's got an aura about him, see. Well, that's the spiritual presence of the goodness of Satan. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, see. There is good, but he doesn't tell you evil is coming. Prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Notice it is called the power of the air. Now magnified by what? All the technology we have today. You can't go any place where you don't hear music that is designed to keep you in the world. And you know, I've mentioned about those who have these big boom buster cars, you know, and everything vibrates. But just think about it. What's really on their minds? What's on their minds with this rap music and all the filth that's there? What's on their minds when they have all of these things that they're doing? It all comes from Satan. Everything that is right and good is being attacked and brought down, 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 down. And lo and behold, pretty soon they will discover that pedophilia is really not a crime. It's just a choice of the child. You wait. It will come. Okay? Now notice, it works within the children of disobedience. That's why your calling is a miracle. That's why conversion is a miracle. And Satan doesn't like that. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Okay? Now let's come here to John 14 for just a minute. John 14. And let's see what Jesus says concerning him. John 14 and verse 30. Now then, there are only two groups in the world. Now there are other subdivisions of these groups. There are only two groups in the world. Those that belong to God, the true God, and those who belong to the world and the God of this world. And we will see here in just a minute, we've already identified what? Another gospel, another God, another Jesus. Okay? Let's see how that's reinforced here. Verse 30, John 14, where Jesus says, I will not speak with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming. But he does not have a single thing in me, called ruler of this world. Likewise, in John 16 and verse 11. Okay? Is that John 16? Gospel of John. Gospel of John. Okay? Okay, John 16, after John 14, 30. John 16, just turn the page. Okay? Concerning the Holy Spirit, when that one has come, verse 8, now let's pick it up here at verse 8. It will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now stop there for just a minute. If you don't believe in the true Jesus, it is what? A sin. Right? Yes. Okay. If you believe in a false Jesus, it is what? A sin. If you believe in a false God, it is a sin. If you believe in a false gospel, it is a sin. Okay. Concerning righteousness, which comes from God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, the most important judgment in the world. See? Because the ruler of this world, that Satan the devil, has been judged. How was he judged? Through Jesus' crucifixion and death. See, Jesus started out his ministry by overcoming all the temptations of Satan the devil by going to the wilderness to be tempted by him for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? He ended his ministry by what? Letting Satan the devil think that he had won the victory because Jesus died. But that was the doom of Satan the devil. All right? Since we're in the Gospel of John, let's come to chapter 8. Now remember this. Satan and the demons are religious. Satan wanted Christ to what? Worship him. What was Satan's sin? He wanted to become like God. He attacked God. He's never given up on the fact that he considers himself a God. Okay? Now, John 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 23. John 8, verse 23. And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That is why I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am," the emphatic ego e me, that he is the I am of the Old Testament, notice, "you shall die in your sins." And then they said to him, "Who are you?" I mean, after saying that, surely it would do that, right? Yes. And Jesus said to them, "The one that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I speak to the world." But they did not know that he was speaking to them of the Father. Then he said, verse 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," speaking of his crucifixion, "then you yourselves shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak." So he told them many things. Now come down here to verse 31. "Therefore Jesus said to the Jews," now they were all there at the temple. They were there keeping the last great day. This all happened on the last great day. "Therefore Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him," because they said, "Oh, we believe you." How many people stand up with a little formula, "If you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you accept him as your Savior, you're saved. Now you're a candidate for the rapture." Boy, that's just what I wanted. I wanted to get out of this hellhole, what's coming on the earth, see. All right. So he told them, "You really believe in Jesus? Try this on for size. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Take the opposite when you read something like this. If you don't continue in my word, you will not know the truth, and you are not my disciples. Okay? Though they were standing right there at the temple, though they were Jews, recipient of the promises of God. Okay? "You shall know the truth. Truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed." Oh, we got this by inheritance. "And have never been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean saying, you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin." Now, we understand that. Sin is a transgression of the law. Now, let's go a little further here. We don't have to turn the page. Sorry about that. Let's come down here. Okay. Let's come down here to verse 41. After they said, "Our father is Abraham." Verse 41. "You are doing the works of your father." Satan is called a father. Then they said to him, "We have not been born of fornication. We have one Father, and that is God." Therefore Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would have loved me, because I proceeded forth and came from God. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words." Verse 44, key. "You are of your father, the devil." To have a God, it's called Father, brings another Jesus, brings another gospel, brings another spirit. Satan, the devil himself. "And the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him." So whenever he speaks anything that has a semblance of truth in it, it must mean something else, and it must be applied differently, slick. Remember our president that was called what? Slick Willie. Nothing stuck to him. And remember how he defined sexual relations? I'll leave it at there. Very slick. That's what the doctrine of the Trinity is. Very slick. Because you come to the Bible and you read certain words, and with the twisted, perverted mind of Satan the devil, he does what? He gives it another meaning. And people think it's to the true God, and they don't know they've been deceived, and it's to Satan himself. Three in one. Another God the Father, another Jesus, and another Spirit. Okay? Didn't stand in the truth. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Now imagine these were really heated words. "Which of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me?" Verse 47. "The one who is of God," notice, hears the words of God. And we can add to it 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing. And Isaiah 28, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, okay? Here's the words of God. And in hearing, that means you hear and act upon. "For this reason, you do not hear because you are not of God." Whoa! Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? All right? Now, I'm going to read from the Catholic Catechism called My Faith. And it's not the faith of the Bible. Now, a man came to his pastor, and he told me this while we were back there at the conference, before he was converted and brought into the true church. He attended another church. And he went to his pastor when he began to find out that the Trinity was not true. And he said, "I want you to prove from the Bible that the Trinity is true." He said, "I can't do it. You have to accept it by faith." That says a lot, right? God does not expect us to believe without proof, because we have the full word of God. We keep the Sabbath in faith because we proved it. We believe God the Father because of his calling and proving it by the word of God and by his Spirit that he has given us. We believe the true Jesus Christ because we accept everything, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the Word of God and everything that it says about Jesus Christ. And I remember when I was bringing some of these things up to a group of Protestants one time, one man came to me and said, "Well, in our church, we never read the Gospel of John." And the Gospel of John reveals the Father. I'm going to bring a sermon on that too, see. What do they say? Jesus and Jesus only. You cannot have Jesus, the true Jesus, without the Father. The Jews reject both. What do they have? So when Jews come and try and tell you that they're teachers of the truth, they're not. Even the Messianic Jews come with a 15th Passover. And we're going to have to go through that again in great detail. Now back to the catechism. Oh, and in the catechism, guess what the third commandment is? Remember the Sabbath. Because they've taken out in the catechism the second commandment, but in their Bibles they leave it in. So if you're a Catholic, you go to your priest and ask him, why? And if you're still a Catholic after that, I don't know. Let's go on. Question, is there only one God? Yes, there's only one God. They quote Isaiah 44:6. I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. Take one scripture without any explanation. There can only be one God because only one can be supreme, all-powerful, and independent of all. How many persons are there in the God? In God. In God, there are three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No scriptures. In speaking of persons in God, we do not use the term exactly the same way when we use it speaking of people. We use it only for the lack of a word to show a better meaning. Okay? We speak of three persons in God because to each belongs something we cannot attribute to the other. His distinct origin from all eternity. Now notice this. The Father begets the Son. Do you imagine that? Not so. And the Son proceeds from the Father. From all eternity, the Father and the Son breathe forth the Holy Spirit, and He proceeds from them as from one source. What do you mean by the Blessed Trinity? By the Blessed Trinity, we mean one and the same God in three divine persons. No scripture. The Father is God, the first person in the Blessed Trinity. Omnipotence and especially the work of creation is attributed to God the Father. No, it's to the one who became Christ. Two, rather. I'm even getting confused here. Okay? Two. The Son is God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. To God the Son, we owe our redemption from sin and eternal death. By His death, He gave us life. Okay. Number three, the Holy Spirit is God and the third person of the Blessed Trinity. He manifests himself to us particularly in our sanctification. The word ghost applied to the third person also means spirit. The three divine persons are really distinct from one another. Now notice the gobbledygook. How can you be in one and yet distinct? Okay? So, let's see the origin of that. From the Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. What is this entire world system called in the book of Revelation? Babylon the Great. Why? Because everything's going back to what Babylon was, but it's magnified around the world. Now you watch this if you watch any documentaries. Don't all the cities with a view from an airplane look almost the same? You have big buildings, you have other buildings, you have streets and all of that, you know? Yes, it's all Babylonian. What was it that they wanted to build? A tower to heaven. Now they're building one somewhere, I think it is in Malaysia. It's going to be the tallest building in the world. And it's going to exceed anything else. Okay? Babylon. So utterly idolatrous was Babylonian recognition of the divine unity that Jehovah, the living God, severely condemned his own people for giving any countenance to it. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens after the rites of the only one, that's what it means in the Hebrew. So when they say there's one God but three persons in one God, see, the Bible teaches there's God the Father separate, God the Son separate, and we are called to be in the family of God, to be the sons and daughters of God as individuals. Not all worked into a ball of dough all together. You know, it's kind of like being caught up in this big ball and let me out of here. What, you can't get out. It's in a big ball. No, God has his family to then go into the entire universe. See? Boy, that's going to make all man's space programs obsolete, won't it? Think of that. Eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. In the unity of that only God of the Babylonians, there were three persons, and to symbolize that doctrine of the Trinity, they employed, as the discoveries of Layard proves, the equilateral triangle, just as it is well known in the Romish church down to this day. Interesting. The papacy has in some churches, as for instance in the monastery of the Trinitarians of Madrid, an image of the triune God with three heads on one body. And that comes from what? Hinduism, Buddhism. The Babylonians had something of the same. Mr. Layard, in his last work, has given a specimen of such a triune divinity worshipped in ancient Assyria. Amazing. All the religions of the world. The first one, viewing the divinity of the Assyrians, first there is the head of an old man. Next there is a zero or a circle for the seed. And lastly, the wings and the tail of the dove or bird, showing, though blasphemously, the unity of Father, seed, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then it shows pictures of it. Woodcuts. All right. In papal Italy, as travelers universally admit, except where the gospel has recently entered, all appearance of worshiping the King eternal and invisible are almost extinct, while the mother and child are the grand objects of worship. Now, think on this. The Babylonian mysteries include a goddess. Now, I'm going a little over time in this segment because the first one that we recorded was a little short. What we talked about first, we didn't record. So all of you out there can just guess on that. Okay? Okay. They say that Mary is a co-mediatrix with Jesus. They say, as was pointed out by that SDA in the video we saw concerning the Pope and the Pentecostals there, they say concerning Mary that she was immaculately conceived, meaning that she was without the law of sin and death, so that Jesus would be without the law of sin and death. Impossible to sin. Where's the law of sin and death? Within the flesh. Automatically passed on by inheritance. So as I pointed out, when they say that, Jesus has not come in the flesh, That is a Catholic doctrine because they say he did not have human nature because Mary did not have human nature. And furthermore, through the genes that he inherited from Mary, who was perfect and had no other children, that she is also with her genes in the blood of Jesus. Okay? So when Jesus shed his blood, Mary shed her blood with him. So what is the mystery and secret of the High Easter Mass? What is it called? Easter, Ishtar, the worship of the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, falsely called the mother of Christ. That's the mysterious secret, okay? Worshipping the eternal king and invisible is almost extinct, while the mother and child are the grand objects of worship. Exactly so is this latter respect, also was it in ancient Babylon. The Babylonians in their popular religion supremely worship a goddess mother and a son who is represented in pictures and in images as an infant or child in his mother's arms or dead on a cross. Not the living Christ who's going to come back to this earth in great power. From Babylon, this worship of the mother and child spread to the ends of the earth. The Jesuit missionaries, when they went to China and Japan, were astonished to find the counterpart of Madonna and her child as devoutly worshipped as in papal Rome itself. Sing Mu, the mother in China, also represented with a child in her arms and a glory around her, exactly as if a Roman Catholic artist had been employed to set her up. Now, this is the biblical truth concerning the Trinity. Satan is the god of this world, called a father. He has another Jesus called the Son. And he has another spirit that he gives, which comes from him, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. That is the biblical truth concerning the Trinity in the Bible. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.